book of 1 Peter. Have you been enjoying the book of 1 Peter? Praise God. There are two hands. All right. I've been enjoying the study of the book 1 Peter because it tells me a powerful message of God's amazing love, but also tells me how to deal with suffering. Do you deal well with suffering? I don't, and I can tell you just briefly, this week I had a cold. You can probably hear it in my nose and my speaking, a stuffy nose, and it doesn't feel good to be sick, does it? And we want to somehow get rid of our sickness, but again, life hits us at different times with different situations. And what do we do when we are confronted with suffering, with challenges, with pain? I think all of us can say, I've experienced suffering. I've experienced pain. I see Dylan and Yvonne Dawkins here today. Praise God that they're here. And I see also Gulsinai and Elliot Harris and Mom. Praise God. Gulsinai just graduated. She got her master's degree, and we had the opportunity of sharing that moment yesterday with her. And there are moments of celebration in life. There are moments of joy in life. There are good things that happen in life. But what when tragedy strikes? What when we suffer and go through difficulties? How do we face those challenges? And I believe 1 Peter has a message for the church today, especially for those who are suffering today. Because it's a reality. This world, we will all suffer. Doesn't matter if you live in Iraq or Syria, and we've seen some very sad images coming from those regions of the world, where a 4-year-old toddler just being washed up on the shore of a beach in Turkey. And it shocked the entire world. What's going on over there? Yes, there are millions of people trying to find a better home, and they're willing to risk it all to have peace, to have a place where they can see their children grow up without the fear of bombs or bullets hurting them. And when we go to Peter, we find that there is a message there for people in Syria, in Iraq, but also for people in Southern California. Amen? Is there suffering here too? There's suffering here too. And we ask ourselves, how can I deal with suffering? And I think Peter can share with us a message of suffering because he, like I think many of the disciples, experienced it himself. And one way that Peter tells us that we can get through suffering is by prayer. Amen? There's power in prayer. There's power in bringing our burdens to God. And specifically, this is how he says it. If you have your Bibles with me, please open it to 1 Peter chapter 3. We will be reading from 1 Peter chapter 3. And specifically, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3. In verse 12. And Peter invites us to just bring our petitions before God, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Amen? There is a God who sees. There is a God who listens. And we can come to God. We can share with him our burdens. We can share with him our disappointments. We can share with him our challenges. We can share with him everything that is going on in life because he sees and he also listens. And when I think of who said these words, it was David. David who wrote those words. Even though Peter uses it in his book, it was King David who wrote these words that we find in a psalm. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Did David suffer? He suffered, sometimes for good reasons, and sometimes just for doing what is right. And something that we'll see as we study the book of 1 Peter is that everyone suffers. Those who do good, as well as those who do bad, evil. Verse 13 continues by asking a question. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Who are you afraid of? Who or what are you afraid of? Can you give it a name? Can you describe it? Can you tell God what it is that scares you? What it is or who it is that makes you afraid? Sometimes when we give our problems a name, they don't seem that big, do they? Sometimes when we describe it and share this with God, He lets us know that He's bigger than any of our problems. Amen? He's stronger than any of the difficulties that we might be facing. And He continues by saying, if ye be followers of that which is good. If you are suffering and you're doing good, don't worry. Don't be afraid. And in fact, verse 14 tells us, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Blessed are you. Do you feel blessed when you're suffering, brothers and sisters? Wait a second, Peter. Well, what are you saying here? To be happy when I suffer? To see it as a blessing when I suffer? And Peter says the following, because he heard it from the teachers of all teachers. Amen? Who said this? Jesus. When he was speaking to the multitude, he says, blessed are you when they persecute you, when they revile against you, when they say all evil against you. And I'm sorry, here I'm going to go back to this slide here where I have the quote from Matthew. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Rejoice, be glad when you suffer for righteousness' sake. Because so suffered also the prophets of old. And I could think that people that were reading or were listening to these words, we're kind of like us, thinking, nah, I don't think so. When I'm doing good, I don't want to suffer. And if I do suffer, I don't really have the desire to rejoice or be happy about it. But what Peter is saying, when suffering comes your way, embrace it, accept it, and bring it before God. Let him know what you are feeling, what you are going through. In fact, he continues telling us here in verse 14, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. John 14, 1 tells us, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me, said Jesus. And when Peter is saying these words, I almost want to imagine Peter saying, why did I not listen to these words when Jesus told me to be happy when facing suffering, to rejoice in moments of difficulty, to not let my heart be troubled when things are not going my way. You see, Peter, who heard these words, had the opportunity to put them into practice and did not. In fact, we read the story that we all well know when Peter was in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus, and Jesus was praying there, and this multitude came to take Jesus away. What did Peter do? He drew his sword and he fought back. He said, no, this is my plan. The plan is, Jesus, you're the king of this new kingdom, and together we're going to work for the good of all mankind. And these people want to destroy my plan, so I'm taking my sword, I'm fighting back, I'm not going to let anybody take away my dream. And just a few hours later, he's in this courtyard, running after his dream, and he sees how Jesus is being mocked, and how he's being treated, and how people are laughing at him, they're beating him up. And this maid comes and says, hey, aren't you one of them? And all of a sudden, it's not cool to be a Christian anymore. And he denies that he knows Jesus. And just a few minutes, or maybe an hour after that, he decides to run away from the source of his suffering. Aren't those normal ways of reacting toward suffering? But Peter invites us not to be afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. In other words, this is what I see Peter telling us. Do not fight it or resist it, but give it to God and trust Him with it. Do not deny it or ignore it, but embrace it with courage and strength. As Jesus said, rejoice and be glad. Do not run away from it or be afraid of it, but confess your fears to God in prayer and rely on His wisdom to overcome them. Peter is saying, hey, guys, listen to what Jesus told me a long time ago. Rejoice when you are suffering. Do not be afraid when troubles come your way. Believe me, it can help. And he continues telling us how this works. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. In other words, he says, hey, be sure you're in the Word, that you're able to answer to someone when they say, hey, you've been going through some very difficult times. Why do you still smile? Why do you still have peace? Well, why aren't you complaining? Why aren't you cursing God and cursing others for the things that are happening to you? And Peter says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Bring His Word into your heart. God's Word is truth, and it's what makes us holy. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Do it humbly, with humility. Not saying, hey, look at me, I'm suffering today. Can you see? And I'm getting through it too. But whatever you do, do it in a Christ-like manner. He continues saying, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conduct in Christ. In other words, don't give anyone reason to say, oh, he's suffering because of this and this. That's why he's suffering. He says, hey, be Christ-like. Don't let anybody say, this is why you are suffering, and accuse you in any way. Verse 17, for it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. In other words, Peter is saying, hey, we're all going to suffer here. Every human being who was born on planet Earth will suffer. We'll go through difficulties, through crisis. But if you're going to suffer, suffer for doing what is good. Don't suffer for doing what is bad. Suffer for doing what is good. Suffering. Can anything good come out of it, brothers and sisters? Peter says, yes. Embrace it. It can bring you closer to God. When you realize, I can't do anything to solve this problem. There's nothing humanly possible to resolve it. I had the opportunity to visit my dentist this week. How many of you like to visit your dentist? I'm always fearful that he's going to discover something that needs to be fixed. It's like, okay, time to bring out these other tools. It was just a clean, to clean my teeth and make sure everything was okay. And as I sat there, he asked me questions about the church, how is it going, and he's been to our church several times, and he was working there and asking me questions. I was trying to answer him. And after he finished, he still just said, hey, let's talk. For the next 20 minutes, we talked. I was sitting in the chair still, hoping no bad news would come out of the whole conversation. And he talked about suffering. And he said, Samuel, I could lose everything today and I would be okay. I've gone through some very difficult times lately. But you know what? I know who Jesus is. And I know that he loves me, that he cares about me, that he can help me. I know that. I've experienced God like never before. And suffering has brought me closer to him. Amen? Peter's saying, don't be afraid of suffering. Embrace it with joy. Embrace it with confidence. Embrace it knowing that God has the solution for all of our problems. In fact, verses 18 through 22, this is one of the most difficult sections in the whole book of 1 Peter. If you have your Bibles, look at this little section. It's one of the most difficult passages in the entire New Testament. There's about four or five different interpretations to this section. And I'm going to share with you what I believe Peter is trying to share with us in the context of suffering. As he tries to share with the church, his little flock that is going through difficult times, how they can face challenging times. And verse 18 tells us, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Boom. Jesus, Peter is saying, suffered for me. Do you believe that? Jesus suffered for you. Jesus suffered for us. Did he deserve to suffer? Not at all. Did he do anything wrong? Did he sin? Not at all. Why would then the most perfect person in the universe have to suffer? Because of love. Because he loves you and me. He suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Amen. Spirit of Prophecy and Desire of Ages tells us the following. Sorry about that. Christ was treated as we deserve, that we may be treated as he deserves. He was condemned for our sins, in which he had no share, that we might be justified by his righteousness, in which we had no share. He suffered the death that was ours, so that we might receive the life that was his. With his stripes, we are healed. Amen? Jesus suffered for you and for me. That's what Peter is saying. And I understand these words in this context. And hopefully you can follow me here. As a kid, I had to go get my vaccines. I was 8 years old, 9 years old, something like that. My sister, 6 or 7 years old, had to get the same shots as I did. And my sister did not like to go to the hospital. She did not like the idea of having a needle being stuck through her skin and something taken out or something put in. She just did not like the idea. So mom said, hey, we're going somewhere. Come on, get in the car. Okay, my sister got in. I got in. All of a sudden, she sees hospital. She says, oh, no, I'm not getting out of the car. I said, come on, it won't hurt. I'm thinking, yes, it will, mom. Mom says, come on, it'll be really quick. You'll see. So my sister and I walked out. My mom went to the office, sat down. My mom, trying to encourage my sister, said, look, it's going to be really quick. In fact, Sam's going to go first. And you'll see, it's not going to hurt him. I looked at my mom. She looked at me. She gave me the look. Be brave now. You let your sister know it's going to be okay. And I'm looking at my mom. I'm like, okay, mom. I'll be brave. And I sat down. I was the first one, put out my arm. And this nurse was introducing this transparent liquid into my arm. And the needle was a little thicker than the other ones. So when she poked me, I went like this. I jerked it, and my sister's eyes just opened up when she saw me jerk a little bit. And then she started to put this liquid in very, I would say, took her time. I was like, faster, faster, faster. But she was just taking her time. She didn't want to bruise me. She didn't want to leave a little bubble there. So she took her time in putting in the vaccine. The more time it took, the more pain I felt. I was just holding and just straight face. And my sister and my mom watching. I managed to only let down 2 tears. And when my sister saw those tears, she was out the door. My mom was running after her. I was still with the nurse, hoping this would go by quickly. And there was no way we could convince my sister that it did not hurt. God says in his word, it's going to hurt, brothers and sisters. Life is painful. It's challenging. It's difficult. It's not easy. But we don't have to face it alone. Amen? Amen. He promises to be right by our side. He promises to help us and encourage us and help us as we struggle with questions and emotions and ideas and what in the world is happening here. Why is this happening to me? And Peter shares, as we continue reading verse 20, he uses the 19 and 20, as he uses the story of Noah by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. And I see Peter using this story to tell us, hey, you might feel like you're the only one suffering in this world. You might feel like it's just your family who's suffering in this world. You might be feeling like everybody's rejected God. You're the only one who's accepted God. You're the only one who's doing the right thing. And you're still suffering on planet Earth. And Peter tells us, God saved Noah and his family. Amen? And he's telling us God can save you too. He's not going to take the pain away. He's not going to take the suffering away. The things that have happened have happened. But he's going to help you get through those difficulties. Amen? That's what he's sharing with us. The like figure, verse 21, whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Hey, we've accepted Jesus. We've been baptized. The promise is we have been saved. Not putting away of the filth of the flesh, and just not just washing our outer body, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. That is, Jesus can renew our mind. Jesus can renew our heart. Jesus can change us. So as we face difficulties, as we face challenges, we know that we are not alone. And he finishes with verse 21, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? His death, his resurrection gives us hope today. No matter what we might be feeling or going through or experiencing, we have hope. And Peter says if Jesus' death is not enough, if his resurrection is not enough. Look at verse 22. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Amen? We have someone who is powerful over all things. The same one who took your place and took my place. Amen? He is standing next to the Father, the highest position in the universe. And he understands our suffering. He understands our pain because he felt it himself. He brought it upon himself to save you, to save me, to save us all. Is that good news, brothers and sisters? That's great news. We can go through difficult times. Grabbing the hand of Jesus, our best friend, amen? What a friend we have in Jesus. He's not going to go anywhere. He's going to say, hey, it's going to hurt. It's going to be difficult, but grab on. This is almost over, amen? Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. We see it all around us. And the invitation is to be it here in this country or elsewhere, be it at work or at play, be it at home or in our community. Wherever we face challenging moments, wherever we experience suffering, embrace it. Don't run away from it. Don't ignore it. Don't fight it. Embrace it. Bring it to God in prayer. Find courage in reading his word. There are promises there for you and for me. Share the hope that you found in Jesus with someone else. Amen? Many times when we're sharing with someone else, or when someone else is sharing with us, we find out that our problems are much smaller than the person we're with. And we can give them courage and hope that there is a God who cares. And this is why he sent his only begotten Son. And his Son stands right next to him and has authority over all things. And the promise is that he is coming soon. And he is coming for those who follow him, who love him, who in the midst of tragedy, who in the midst of suffering, can rejoice and have peace. Because Jesus lives in them. Amen? Is that good news? That's great news. I invite you to share it with someone this week as we continue to move forward, hoping, praying, Jesus will come soon. Amen.